Our scripture reading this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, the second chapter, beginning with the sixth verse. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. The first day of high school, my senior year, my roommate had been there about a week earlier for early football. I was in a dormitory high school, and he was all upset with himself the first night that I arrived. And I said, "What happened?" And apparently just the night before, he had been downtown at a local carnival, and one of the carnies there had called out to him and got him interested in a little game where you take a Coke bottle and use a tiny little cane and tip it upright and make it stand up. And started out with just a dollar a tip to try to tip it up, and apparently accomplished it a few times, and the guy kept saying, "Let's do double or nothing." And through the process, cheated him out of all the money he had on him, which was supposed to last him for months into the semester. $50, which today would be over $200 by today's standards. He can understand why he was a little ticked off. Midway carnies claim that they can spot, at least the seasoned veterans, the pros at this, claim that they can spot an easy target, an easy prey. They have certain things that they look for on your person and the way maybe that you talk and things like that. And they will often call out, if you've ever observed this, they will often call out on the midway in a different voice to different people and often use different ways of trying to address them. And this is all part of the game, trying to get your money away from you. What's at stake is some dollars, things that you possess, or at least your pride. St. Paul is talking to us today in our text about how this world and the devil may try to cheat us and rob us, but something much higher is at stake. In fact, the highest thing, our possession of salvation, our eternal welfare. Just earlier in this letter, St. Paul had reminded his readers in Colossae of the tremendous blessings that we possess through faith in this Savior. Just hear some of these words again. God has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Just let those words sink in. God's qualified us to be part of that. He says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." So that's what we possess. That is the great thing of value that we carry around with us in this world as we walk down the midway of this society in which we live. And just like the carnies calling out to us on the midways at fairs and carnivals, in our culture, in our society, there are likewise many deceiving voices that call out to us. And their final goal is to take this most blessed treasure and possession away from us. And they have a lot of very glitzy, colorful things to draw our attention. And sometimes they will call out to us and they will appeal to our intellect. They will appeal to our intelligence. They will appeal to our desire to want to study and to know more, which by itself is a good thing. Others may appeal to a particular craving, a particular sinful desire that's inside of us. Some will also point us to these amazing stuffed animals we can get if we just give up what we have. Just think of all the treasures that this world has around us that we could be living for. But all of them will in some way, shape, or form appeal to our sinful human pride. When I was in college, I was working at a car dealership right here in Mankato, and there was a salesman there that I'd worked with for about a year seemed to be a nice guy when you'd talk to him, but he used to come back and talk to us who were back in the mechanical shop, and he would brag about how he had just ripped off another customer for more than $1,000 or more that they wouldn't have had to pay for a car, but he talked them into stuff they really didn't need, and he would brag about how good he was at this. And he would just gloat and go on about how great it was that he could get money away from people. And I remember one of the guys back in the shop used to say to him, "How do you sleep at night?" And he would laugh, and he'd go back to his desk. I came to realize about him that all of the niceness that he had really was covering up a pretty evil heart, a very self-centered and greedy heart. We need to remember the motive that is in the heart of the one who is trying to deceive us in this world, and of those who do his bidding and call out to us. The one trying to deceive us is evil and wants to do nothing but take this precious treasure we have in Christ away from us. And he knows that in order to accomplish this, he has to sound flattering, he has to sound convincing, he has to be able to put something in front of us that looks like it's going to be to our benefit. It looks like it's going to improve our welfare and our standard of living and how we enjoy life. It has to look like it's going to be positive for us if it's ever going to work the way he wants. It's interesting how St. Paul in our text uses the word cheat, or the word to defraud someone. It's the only place it's used in the New Testament, this word. And it actually is a word that has to do with the end of a war, when people would go in and steal the stuff at the end of the war and take it out of people's homes, the spoils, and walk off with it. In essence, what St. Paul is saying to you and me is this: be careful so that the devil doesn't carry you off like the spoils of war. It'd be interesting to know, my high school roommate, I know years later, had a teenage daughter, and I'm sure she went to a few carnivals and fairs of her own, and I can imagine him sitting her down before she took off and telling her this story and saying to her, "You be careful, you protect what you have, and you watch out because they're going to try to deceive you." God would have us be vigilant, be on our guard, as we go through the midway of this world in our society, that we realize that the voices that are calling out to us don't really have our best interest in mind. This beautiful faith that we possess, the world wants to rip it away from us. And so this is going to require vigilance. A commentator named Paul Kretzmann says this about this text: true Christians are not looking for some new doctrine that will tickle their fancy, for some new leader to show them some new way to God and heaven. They abide by the old doctrine of sin and grace as they have been taught. The revelation of the gracious will of God as we have it in the Bible is sufficient for all our needs. And so just like a little child that has come to know the heart of his mom or dad, that they always have his best interest in mind, has observed their parent continually making sacrifices for their good and for their sake and is always watching out for them. When the child knows the heart of the parent is always thinking of them first and has their welfare in mind, they're much more willing to be obedient and to follow and listen. God would have us consider the heart of our Savior. When his voice talks to us, even when it's things that the world tells us are ridiculous, when his voice talks to us, consider the source. Consider who's talking to us. He's the one alone that has gone and paid the full price for all of our sins. He's the one alone that just freely gives you the holy, perfect record you need to stand up before God on Judgment Day. He is the one alone who has gone to feel hell for you so that someday you could possess heaven. And he alone is the one who's come down to earth from heaven that knows how awesome it is. So if there's anybody's voice who has our best interest and welfare in mind, it's this amazing Savior. This week in the church year, we focus on our obedience to Christ and his word. And we are not simply to do that because it's the right thing to do. It is. But because it is for our spiritual and eternal welfare. And no one who trusts in Christ has ever been or will ever be let down. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen.